When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sign. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of human glory will the tolls of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Shout the victory. I tell you what we're going to do now, though. The kiddos are excited because they want to see what kind of mess I'm going to make today. So kids, come on down. And I want to show you what we're going to do today before we dismiss them to go to children's church. I like to call this the preamble to children's church, the preamble. I've always got something good up here. I got two items. I want you to come see them. I'll show them to you when you get up here. All right? Yeah. I tell you, we ought to have a lot of kids. You kiddos, y'all eat a lot this week? Did y'all eat a lot? Huh? Sit down. Y'all sit down where you can see me. Come on. Come on. I got to sit with my kids. Yeah. All right. I'm going to pass this around. Pass that around. What is that? Wood. It's a piece of wood, right? Okay. Go ahead. Pass it around. Let them see it. I worked real hard to find that today because somebody's been cleaning up too good out there around them trees. I had to walk all the way out here. All these trees were too clean. Now, pass this around. What's that? Yeah, it's kind of confusing. Is it heavier or lighter than that piece of wood? Stone. It's heavier, isn't it? Yeah, pass it on. It's not stone. I want you to pass it on around. Okay. Yeah, here, give me that piece of wood there, sweetie. Thank you. All right. That's a piece of wood, y'all. Okay. All right. Is it heavier or lighter than this? Oh, it's heavier, isn't it? Yeah. Isn't it neat that God made things heavy and he made them light? A lot of these people out there are going, yeah, I wish I could be a little lighter after this week. But I want Miss Barbara to put that scripture up there. And what I want to talk to you is about these two pieces of wood. They're both the same thing. This piece of wood just fell here recently, and it fell on top of the ground. And it's probably going to decompose, which means it's going to just go away and go back into the soil. This piece of wood fell hundreds of years ago, and it got put into the dirt. And I was pushing dirt on a man's lake one day. Mr. Donnie's probably found a bunch of this before. And we were pushing dirt, and I looked down there, and I'm about 5-6 feet under the earth. And here comes a big old piece of log of petrified wood. Now, you see, this piece of wood here was light, right? How was this? This was heavy. I want you to read that scripture. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Would it be easy to tear this piece of wood up? Huh? Yeah, see? Look. Oh, I did make a mess. Sorry. Go get the dustbuster, Frankie. Okay. Yes, see that? What about this? You see, there's a lot of things in this world that are hard and pressing and pushing down on us, aren't they? Mama said, go clean your room. Mama said, go do this. Go put your trash up. Go clean your plate off. And all these things put pressure down on you to do the right, right? And sometimes we want to get just crushed because I've just got so much to do. But what God is telling us in that, you're pressed down but not destroyed. And to take that pressure, and what happens is you become hard as a rock and stout. But what I want you to do this Christmas time is for these folks out here. I'm not going to hit you. Listen, your mamas and your daddies this time of year, and your grammys and your grandpas and your aunts and your uncles, it's tough. They're hard-pressed to do what they think needs to be done for Christmas. They're hard-pressed to get bills paid. They're hard-pressed to get things done for y'all. And when you see mom and daddy being hard-pressed and struck down and they're like having a hard time, I want you to pray for them, all right? Okay? Because we're the strongest when we're on our knees. We're the strongest when we pray. And the way we become strong in the Lord, just like Peter was, is to pray and give him praise for that, all right? And we're going to be hard-pressed and we're going to not be crushed because we're going to pray for mom and dad when they're feeling a hard time, all right? All right, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you. We thank you that we in Christ know that tough times come, as they did for Peter as he was preaching to the Corinthian church. And we know that in those tough times, the disciples went through many, many strenuous times and things. But God, we know through those times, they were never crushed. They were never perplexed. They were never forsaken because you kept them strong in you. Lord, when we see our mamas and daddies or we see others that we love going through a hard time, help us to understand you make us strong when we're on our knees and praying for them. Lord, we love you and give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
To Canaan's land, well, I'm on my way, where the soul of man never dies. My darkest night will turn to day, where the soul of man never dies. No sad farewell, no tears. Roses blooming there for me, where the soul never dies. And I will spend eternity where the soul of man never dies. No sad farewells, no tear dimmed eyes. We're all so a man never dies. The love light beams across the phone, where the soul of man never dies. It shines and lights the way to home where the soul of man never dies. No sad farewell, no tears in eyes, where all is love and the soul of man never dies. No sad. Too much this holiday. One more time, I know better than this. How many of you ate too much during the holidays? Aren't you glad you live in a country where you can say that? And I'm going to tell you this morning, the Holy Spirit is here for you to get as much as you want. The only limiting factor is you. If you want more of God this morning, just lean back, praise God, and let her go. He's here this morning. Let him do something in your life.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. And how chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Oh, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. Has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. My chains are gone, set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Oh, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. Oh, but God, who calls me here below, shall be forever mine. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Oh, and like the blood, His mercy reigns, unending. Amazing grace. Oh, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending. Amazing grace.
Thank you.
just say we're missing Amber today. Amber's out sick, so y'all be in prayer for her.
Wake up. I'm going to sneak up on you. I tell you what, how many of y'all are glad you have an everlasting God? You ain't good enough. How many of you glad that you have an everlasting God?
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's how we're supposed to be every day, soaring like wings of eagles and looking to God for all the answers. He redeemed you. He saved you. Y'all, we got to get excited about that. All righty? We're going to sing this song right now. Come on, guys. I don't know if it gets your blood pumping, but it gets my blood pumping every time I begin to sing this song. And that's why I had to stand up and get away from that piano and get out here and kind of shake loose a little bit. And if it don't get you that way, then let's do a little heart searching this morning. Let's get it going, okay? If my little old heart can tick and pump and sing this song, I know you can, all right? Let's get it going. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. You fire, your wood is wet. Let's go right into the 10,000 reasons. I'll just stay right up here. I was going to get back there and play, but I'm fired up for Jesus, y'all.
Amen.
He's done it all for you, and you can get it today. I'm telling you, he's right here. All you got to do is get it, receive it. He wants to bless you. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Come on, choir. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing. Praise. Hallelujah.
Good morning. Good morning. Love you. Praise the Lord for you. This morning, I want to talk to you about kingdom happiness and what you're eating. Before we get started, let's pray. God, today I ask you for your strength in everyone in this room. I pray you do a great and mighty thing in each of our life. And God, for that to happen, sometimes we as individuals just need to sit down and eat at your table. And God, I pray that you would birth that kind of heart in each of us. When we take communion, it's a quick grab it and go, but God, you're not a grab it and go God. You're wanting to work in our life every day. And I ask you to strengthen us in that. When we walk out these doors and life gets tough, life gets heavy, we go through things we don't understand, may we know that we're at your table. And God, I just pray your strength over every heart. Open our ears to hear your word today. And God, above everything else, anoint my mouth to speak your word today. For your kingdom's sake, that we could be found faithful, well, in life and honoring you. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know of many Christians or people that we go to church with that when you ask them, how are you? I'm blessed. And it's easy to be blessed when you're blessed. When things is good, why is it that when things is good in our life, we're blessed? And why is it when things ain't good in our life, we're the opposite? I watch them college football games. Y'all watch them things? I enjoy watching the college football game. You watch Alabama and Auburn yesterday, that was a barn burner. Me in college football, I pull for Tennessee and anybody that's playing Alabama. I do. And I'm watching them yesterday, and that was just some amazing things happened that can only happen in college football yesterday. And at the end of that game, they're showing the people. 40 seconds before the ending of the game, everybody on the Auburn side was jumping up and down, and they were happy. They were blessed. You hear what I'm saying? They were blessed. Why? Because our team is winning. Then all of a sudden, this amazing thing happens, and Alabama catches one with 2 feet hanging in the end zone and lays out here and catches, and it's ruled a touchdown, and then they go back to the Auburn folks, and I'm telling you, I had to sit there and laugh. Now, I was not pulling for Alabama. I wanted to see Auburn win, but as I watch them pan the camera around there, and they're crying. People are ugly when they cry. Never heard Mama say when I was crying, your face is going to freeze that way. But why is it that a circumstance changes whether I'm blessed or not? I want you to know something today, that circumstances don't change your blessedness from the kingdom of God. I don't care how upside down your life may get, what sickness, what, nothing will ever change your blessedness. But we've got to get our heart in a place, and listen to me, our heart is our mind. When we get our heart in a place that circumstances don't change our blessedness, you begin to bless the kingdom of God because you stay faithful and true. But that is a tough situation, especially when you feel like your team just lost the game. If we had one more quarter, if we had two more minutes. God is on your side if you live surrendered to Him. We're going to walk through the Beatitudes this morning in Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read them, and then we're going to go to walking through them. But before we get to that part, I want you to know that how you respond to things when they're good, and finances when they're good, and then when they're not good, does it create turmoil with you and your wife? Does it create turmoil in your home? Does it, circumstances should never change your kingdom happiness. Health issues should never change your kingdom happiness. Your work. Everybody that got that awesome job that they was looking for, man, I got this awesome job. Ain't it funny how 6 months later, I hate my job. What changed? The mind. We. You're an Auburn fan only because they whipping Alabama, or you're an Auburn fan true and true? I'm a Tennessee fan true and true. Anybody use a blue tick coon hound for a mascot got my vote. Yeah. I like them blue tick coon hounds. Work should never change. In fact, I'm going to tell you this. If you're an employee, wherever you're employed, you should go to that work to be a blessing. If you want to live at peace in your life, everything we do, we need to do it to be a blessing. Amen? Family should never change the circumstances, and it don't change our kingdom happiness. It's easy to praise Him when the bankroll is good, but what about when life is difficult? Followers of Jesus wanted dominion and prosperity when Jesus was walking this earth and the kingdom of Jesus was being preached, before we went from having to live by the law to being delivered by grace. Everybody was looking for this king, and the Jews never accepted Jesus as king because he didn't live like a king. Hello. He didn't live like a king. Why do Christians think I need to live like a king when I can't serve and honor the king? Have I got y'all thinking? If we are a king's kid, we need to learn to expect king's favor. But if the only way to have a king's favor is to walk in honor of that king. It's the same thing for many people today. They want prosperity. Give me a prosperity gospel. Make me feel good. Make me feel good right where I am. And there's no way to feel good where you are if sin is present in your life and life is upside down. There's no way to feel good right where you are if circumstances can change your heart. No way that to make you feel good where you are if circumstances change your heart. In Matthew chapter 5, as Jesus spoke to the people, we're going to read this in just a minute, he spoke of poverty and sorrow. For many, these words known as the Beatitudes were like cold water on the hot enthusiasm of people and what they had for the kingdom, what their expectations were of the kingdom. Let me tell you something. His kingdom will never come to us until we walk in His favor and in His honor. Let's read the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start at verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, He went up on the mountain. And when He was seated, His disciples came to Him. And then He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake and for the kingdom of heaven. And if you read blessed and blessed is the same word. And we're going to walk back through this. We're going to break it down a little bit, but I want to explain something to you about the Greek, what the Greek definition is for blessed or blessed. Yep, this country boy is about to tell you a Greek word. Y'all ready for this? Makarios is the Greek word for blessed, which means large or long duration. If you're a note taker, write that down. Blessed means long duration. That's one thing we don't like, especially in an American culture. We want everything now. We got to have it now. You want it, we get it now. You pull up to the ATM, you ain't even got to get out of your car to get money out of the bank no more. You pull up there, got that piece of plastic, you stick it in there, type in a few numbers, it spits out cash dollars. Only if you got something in there. We don't want to wait on food. They got a drive-thru. You can pull up to the drive-thru, order your hamburger, and you can tell them how you want it, which way you want it, pull up there, unless it's Whataburger. You get fresh food. You don't get fast food. You get fresh food fast. However that works. But we want everything now. We don't want to walk through the long duration waiting on God's answer or God's promise through a situation. And I want to challenge you. Those are things right there that begin to hinder the kingdom happiness that God intends for each of us to walk in. We can't walk blessed. It's the reason the church don't impact culture no more than it does, is we're blessed one minute and our mood changes the next. We must remain faithful to the King, because the King will never fail you. That's His promise. He will never fail you. He will never see the righteous forsaken. So when you feel like it's the fourth quarter and 30 seconds is left on the clock and you just lost the game, let me tell you something. Remain faithful. Remain faithful, but keep lifting Him up, because it don't change the fact that you're a blessed child of God. Makarios is the word which means long duration. The word as an adjective suggesting happy or supremely blessed. It is a grace word that expresses a special joys and satisfaction granted to the person who experiences salvation. This is what I want to settle in your heart today. Makarios, to be blessed, it's a grace word that expresses special joy and satisfaction granted to the person who experiences salvation. When it's fourth quarter, 30 seconds left on the clock, and you just lost the game, it don't change the fact that you're blessed, because you trust in your salvation. Thank God, our awesome King of Kings and Lord of Lords is not an Auburn football team. Thank God, He don't let you down at the last minute. Stay faithful. Keep praising Him. Keep giving Him glory. I got to ask you, church, why has the church fell silent to praise that King? Why have we fell silent to give Him the glory due His name? Because too many are in the fourth quarter and your game is over. That is a lie from the pits of hell. I want to challenge you today to begin to rejoice in your life. I want to challenge you today to begin to rejoice in the life. Now let's just go back to verse 3 of chapter 5 and begin to walk through each one of the Beatitudes. Remember, blessed or blessed means long duration. Think of that as we go back through these. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Your continual dependency is on God. Is that your case? Do you continually depend on God even when things is upside down, when the finances ain't good, when the job ain't good, when the boss is cranky, when the wife is cranky, when the husband's cranky, when the kids are too loud? Do we continually trust God? My dependency is on God. That's the first thing we have to do, is our dependency is on God. Kingdom people know their life's weaknesses. Kingdom people know their life's weaknesses. We know where we struggle. We know where we have, man, that's hard for me to trust in that. I want to challenge you here. Keep depending on God. Let your dependency be on Him. Man, God ain't going to help me through this. Stop telling yourself that one. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. My dependency is on him. So let's keep our dependency on God. That's the first thing we need to do. And verse 4 says this, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. When you lose a loved one, you've prayed for healing, you prayed for wellness. We prayed and God didn't answer my prayer. That is a lie from the pits of hell. It is appointed unto man, the scripture says, it is appointed unto man once to die, after this the resurrection. We never know when our day's coming up, and I'm telling you, they ain't never a good time to die. Right? Me and a buddy of mine was talking the other week. Here we are as people, we spend our whole life as Christians getting ready to go to heaven, and then we spend all our money when we get old to stay out of it. Make me well, doctor, make me well. We're all guilty of that one, ain't we? The main reason, I don't want to feel bad. Hello? But the reason some of us feel bad is our attitude ain't right to start with. When our attitude changes, when our heart changes, when my dependency is on God and I'm going to trust Him no matter what, I'm going to tell you what, if we gain that attitude, if we gain that mentality, there'll be a lot more peace in your life. A lot more peace. But when we lose that loved one and we prayed for that wellness, and some of them die way too young, and I agree with that, but we never understand that. But I want you to know this, that when a person dies, the angels, there is a rejoicing goes on when one makes it to heaven. When one is surrendered, when one is lived, sold out to God, there's a rejoicing that goes on in heaven. Then verse 5 said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness don't mean weakness. Too many Christians walk around with a defeated attitude, and meekness don't mean weakness. Too many people that are not Christians think Christians are a throw rug. God didn't tell you to let them wipe their feet on you. It's like training a horse. You hear that terminology of, well, I got to get my horse broke. Somebody's got to break him. He's got to be broke. That's my horse, but he needs to be broke. Why would you want to break something that don't need broke? If he's broke, you can't use him. That's what I've all, when you break it, if it's broke, it's broke. Well, you can't use that no more. It's broke. And you train a horse wrong, and he'll be broke. If I always tell people this, it's not what you had a boy call me. I need a hackamore bit. My horse won't stop. I said, why you want the hackamore bit? He said, because I'm going to sit down on it. I'll teach him to stop. I said, no, you're going to break his jaws. What you going to do? And I said, it's not what goes on the horse's head. It's what goes in. I'm going to tell you that as a believer.
It's what goes in your mind. Are you allowing God to birth things in your mind? Are you hungry enough for God that you're sitting at the Lord's table? Are you hungry enough that you're seeking God in the face of adversity? Do you seek God in that adversity for His patience? Are you long-lasting in that? Because without it, you can break that horse and be broke. But you train him to surrender to you. When you train him to surrender to you, well, that takes too long. Yes, it does. Why? How can we be a strong believer one day a week? How can we be strong in our faith, strong in my trust in God just one day a week? I hear this expression a lot in our culture today. It's Sunday, I got to get my Jesus on. Where's he been Monday through Saturday? If you put him on around the church, I know how to act around the church people. Bless you. I hate that sucker. Do you know people, this is going to blow y'all out of the water, I know. Do you know people go to church with people they hate? They do. And then we wonder where the presence of God is in our assemblies. I'm going to tell you what, when we act that way, he knows exactly how it is, and he politely walks out the door because he wants no part with it. And when you train a horse, you don't take him out here and go gather cattle with him. You put him in the round pen. And I heard Larry do a deal here on a men's breakfast one day about going back to the round pen. And I'm telling you right now, some of us need to go to the round pen with Jesus and get in that place where we spend that time and let God develop our heart. Let God develop my thinking. Let the Beatitudes begin to be something that's real in my life, because the Beatitudes are the attributes of God. Meekness don't mean weakness. You're not training that. You're not breaking that horse. You're training him. You're training him to surrender to you. Surrender, here's the key right here. Surrender teaches the horse to lose his self-will and surrender to your will. Same thing with a Christian life. You lose your self-will and surrender to the Father's will. You remember when Jesus was going to the cross and he went to the garden to pray and he prayed, "Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Jesus battled with the will too. That is the biggest enemy me and you face. And we wake up every day and we get him ready to go to church on Sunday. We got to look good when we get there. But how are you on the inside? Guys, it don't matter. We can put on facades all we want to, but we don't have God fooled. Nowhere in our life do we ever fool the Holy Spirit of God. And he's yearning for us jealously to surrender to him. I bought a horse. He had 5 world champions cutting horses on his paper. He was bred right, but this one was a lunatic. Never did get this horse trained. 5 world champions. Cutting horse out the mall, man, he's going to be awesome. And you could get him, but when you get on him every day, he's going to buck. And when he found out he could, if you rode him past the buck, he stood there and just shook. Mad. I mean mad. And he would just shake and think of his next move. And he jumps straight up in the air and throws his feet out from under himself and watches as he comes to the ground and lands on me like to kill me. He broke me from getting on his back. I got up saying, "You must be Brooks, because I'm done. I'm done." And I didn't want no more of him, and I called a buddy of mine that owned a rodeo company. I said, "I'm going to bring you this one. Y'all buck him, and he said, bring him down here, Pumpkin Town. We'll break him for you, and you can carry him back home with you. This little horse went on to go to the Southeast Circuit Finals in the PRCA bucking because he loved it. And then one day a boy cut him with a spur. He quit. He bucked that hard. If you've ever rode bareback horses, they'll send your feet to you. You just got to put them back. If you ain't never rode one, you'd like to try that. We have an arena right down here. You just have to put them back, especially if he bucks hard. You got to have one that bucks hard to send your feet to you because you're trying to keep them locked in his neck and he sends them. And this little horse got cut by a boy putting them spurs back to him, and when he cut him, he quit. Didn't want to buck no more. So an old boy took him down in Augusta, Georgia. He read them same papers I did. 5 world champion cutting horses on this dude. He's got to be awesome. I'm going to take him. He took him down there he went up to Mr. Charlie's and took the horse back to Augusta, Georgia, took him down there, and when he got him to Augusta, he got him saddled up, gypped him around in the pen, worked him a few days trying to get him, let me in, you know. Let me, that's what God wants with us. He's wanting in your mind. Let me in. Let me help you through that. Do you know that God loves you that much that he wants to help you? That's why the struggle is real for me to surrender my self-will. I'll fix it. I can handle that. My Lord, if we could, the world wouldn't be in the mess it's in today. The reason our culture is so upside down is too many people think they can fix the world's problems. And this boy got on that horse. He bucked him off, fell on him, broke his collarbone, 6 ribs, and punctured a lung. He went on to make glue. Mr. Charlie called me about him, said we've totally given up on him, Punk. I said, well, I've always wondered where crazy glue come from. So he ought to make a great tube of that. But some just can't surrender that will. I'm going to tell you something. It is hard for us to surrender when we're in a financial situation, a family situation, somebody's dying that is so close to us. We've got to trust God in that. Are you willing to trust God? Because I'm going to tell you something. We pray for that healing. We pray for healing here. We may never see it, but the moment that person leaves this earth, if they're a child of the King, they're in ultimate healing, and there's no more tear to dim the eye, and the joy that's just flooded that soul. They don't want to come back where you are and walk in that sorrow any longer. They don't want to come back to that. But this is why we've got to know who God is in our own heart. We must surrender to God. Not my will, but your will be done. Verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's a spiritual appetite. This is what Jesus is talking about. A spiritual appetite. But not too many Christians have a spiritual appetite. Especially if we have that mentality of, I got to get my Jesus on. It's Sunday. I got to get my Jesus on. That's a donut appetite. And I think, what are we going to do when we get to heaven? There'll be no donuts there. I've watched them when I was growing up. People made fun of the police officers because you'd find them at the donut house. Well, the police officers need to make fun of the churches now because you'll find the donut house at the church. There's no nutritional value in a donut, but man, they're good. A minute on the lips is forever on the hips. But man, they're good. And they're like Lay's potato chips. Nobody can eat just one. And I'm going to tell you something, when our spiritual appetite would go from something that satisfies my taste bud to something that'll bring nutritional value to you, when we take our spiritual appetite to, I'm going to trust God like Job did, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. When we begin to have that kind of trust, when that beatitude settles in our heart, when we will know how blessed we are, because I'm hungry to see what God's outcome is in this situation. I'm hungry for God's deliverance in this situation. I don't know when it's coming, but I know who I'm trusting. We've got to learn to have that kind of heart as his children. Hallelujah. Somebody's going to say, no more donuts for me. Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. If you don't learn to show mercy, how can you have God's mercy? Beware, because a time will come in your life when you'll need some mercy. Are we merciful to them that really need mercy? Are we able to forgive? The church has walked around too long offended. That offended me. When I begin to read these Beatitudes right here, if you just take this passage of Scripture right here and you get to this last one, you have no right to even have that word in your vocabulary. You have no right to be offended, because offended is a choice. And we need to learn to give mercy instead of being so offended and letting things make us so mad. Well, I'm mad. You're missing all the blessings that God has for you. Because again, what God talked about was sorrow, and things that we don't want to accept as a believer. That's things I got to deal with. Listen, all the things that Jesus wants us to deal with is things that no person on this earth is immune to. Why did Jesus tell us that it was going to be a sorrowful life? Because in this world is not our home. This world is not what we need to be content in. The world looks so upside down, it's like, man, I don't even want to go to town anymore. Because it's so upside down, but it's not where we need to be comfortable. But the mercy of God, we need to learn to show mercy in order to receive God's mercy. Verse 8, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Hear people say when I die, I'm going to go see so-and-so. I can't wait to see mama. I can't wait to get to this one. I'm going to tell you what, I hope. This is my hope. I want to see the one that died for me. I would be another one that would wash his feet with my tears, because I remember my upside down life. The first message Jesus ever really teaches is this one right here. It's because he knew these are going to be the things you're going to have to be able to have in you. It's got to begin to be your heart. It's got to begin to be every part of who you are as his follower. Every one of these attributes is who you and I have to become in order for him to be our strength. The pure in heart. We got to learn to be real before our righteous God. We may have everybody else fooled, but I promise, and it's why we can't worship. I don't know, why are we not free to worship him in song? And worship is more than a song. Worship is the life we live. We enter these doors to worship him in song. We leave these doors to glorify him in life. But we all hear that said. I want to see this one, and I do. I want to see my papa at some point, but I want to sit at the feet of Jesus. We got to learn to be real before God and stop hiding who we are and be true to God for him to create his attributes in our life. Verse 9 said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Be in harmony. The Bible said, he don't say peacekeepers, said peacemakers. We got to learn to make peace. When we're living in a culture that's decaying as rapidly as ours is, you and me, when these beatitudes are our character, when that character begins to take over who we are, we have something to share with a world that's so upside down. The reason the world is so upside down today is because the church has failed to honor God outside the four walls. Peacemakers, to be in harmony. Peacemakers have resolve. They know how to resolve conflict, not create it. I'm going to say that again. They know how to resolve conflict, not create it. And if you're a person in a church that loves to cause conflict, you're not an honoring God in your life. If you can't honor God and you can't allow this, you don't get to choose out of these scripture which ones I like. It's not a shopping list. It's not serving your plate and going, I don't like the cranberry sauce. I'll leave that in for all of y'all. If I wanted jelly on my junk, I'd get me a jar of jelly. Resolving conflict. To settle animosity. And the first place we have to settle that animosity is in our own heart. Hello. Every bit of the Beatitudes begins to point right back to the believer. Everything points right back to the person's own heart, to the reader's own heart. Let it here, it settles right here, and it begins to point back to us, and these are things we've got to get right with God. And then he says this in verse 10, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Persecuted. When you show in your life the characteristics described back in verses 3 through 9, some people won't like you at all for what you're doing in your life. You'll be hated. And you know what Jesus said? You will be hated for my name's sake. He didn't say there's a possibility. He didn't say there's a chance. He didn't go, "Hey, now, y'all just hang on a minute." I'll guarantee you, neither coach told their team, Alabama and Auburn, when that game started, I bet neither coach told their team there's a chance, a possibility you're going to lose. In a game, there's always going to be a lose. Somebody's got to lose, right? Tie game, we're going to go into overtime. We're going to play it out. Somebody's got to lose. The great thing about the life that I'm describing to you today is you're a winner. You're a winner if we allow the Spirit of God to develop these characteristics in our life. If we go back to the characteristics of 3 through verse 9, and as he said in verse 10, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for the righteous, for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Jesus said, he didn't say there's a chance. He didn't say, "Hey, now there might be. You could be hated." He said, "You will be hated for my name's sake." I'm not hated because I go to church at Living for the Brand by this world. This world hates every believer today, and it's manifesting. I talked to a man yesterday, and it's you try to share Jesus with people now. It used to be you could tell they didn't want to, maybe they didn't want to hear it, or maybe you know, there's a little ashamed of where they were. Nowadays, the people that don't want to hear it will just flat tell you, I don't want to hear that. How do I know that? Because I've tried that. I don't want to hear that. Well, that ain't going to shut me up because I know who set me free. These characteristics God is wanting to develop in each one of us. And I want to flip over here in James chapter 4. I'm going to try to wrap this up. He said in verse 4, he said, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. Amiss is a wrong motive. We ask with the wrong motive, that you may spend it on your pleasures. This is where all the things that we begin to go through in life, when you read back to the Beatitudes, everything points back to the believer. It's a condition of my heart. I'm the only one that can control that. And how do I control that? I have to surrender my heart to God. The fights and wars that are created, the opportunity to be offended, the one that says, I'm not going to show mercy, that is a condition of your heart. And your heart is struggling because you're wanting to do your will. And Jesus prayed, not my will be done, but your will be done. Go back and read that part of Scripture where Jesus went to the garden and prayed, and look at how many hours he prayed until he could surrender. The Bible says that he became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. He had to die to himself first in order for the Beatitudes to start creating the character of you. The only way the Beatitudes settle in your heart, in you, is that you die to yourself. And when we die to ourselves, there's peace in the conflict of a war that's going on in your mind. There's peace that passes all understanding, and you can smile anyway when you go through the hard things that life deals with us, financial. Guys, it don't matter. God will never see the righteous forsaken. I'm going to trust him. We got to have a heart like Job. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And I'm going to ask Wayne, y'all come on, my brother. Psalms 16, verse 5. I want to read this one. Oh, Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. My lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night season. My heart also instructs me in the night season. The only way our heart can begin to instruct us is when have you ever had somebody go, that didn't make you mad, that ain't made you mad, I tell you, that'd make me mad. If I was you, you ever got that kind of counsel? I don't need to hear that one. I know what I'm going to listen to, and I know what I'm not going to listen to. And if people ever counsel you to fuel your fire, they're not a friend. I'm telling you, it's not a friend that will fuel your fire of animosity. Jesus, nowhere through this scripture, fuels our fire and animosity. But he said this in verse 7, my heart also instructs me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand and I shall not be moved. We got to have an immovable spirit settling our heart. Watch verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh will also rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. In your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are the pleasures forevermore. Look back at verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is the fullness of joy. Is your joy full today? Kingdom happiness depends on where your heart is with God. Y'all stand with me. Kingdom happiness depends on where you are in your mind right now. Nobody around you can settle your mind. Nobody can create the mind that passes all understanding in you, but you surrendering your self-will to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I want you to know this morning that you got a God that loves you, and He wants to settle every issue you walk through that's difficult in your life. He wants to settle that. Will you surrender to Him today? God, today I ask you that you would strengthen our lives for your kingdom. God, I pray above everything else that every heart in this place would meditate on your words, and that your character, the Word of God, creates the character of God in us. And Lord, I want to thank you that your Word is true, and your Word creates our character. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst. May we begin to have the right diet. God, let us not have another spiritual donut. But God, may we learn today to sit down at your table and eat and get nutrition and be strengthened for all the adversity that will surely come our way as a believer. It don't matter if we're a believer or not. Adversity will come. But God, we have your Word that settles our heart. And that's what we trust in today. We give you the glory because you're worthy. Thank you for that your Word is true. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're in this place today and you need something from the Lord, I want to meet you down here and pray with you. If you've never made Him your Savior, come and accept Jesus. What you're going through that you need help with, He loves you.